It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Yes, hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. On the road, bitches. Oh, you can't hear that. That sounds really... In the windstorm that is my life right now. That is AC coming to you straight to your earphones.
That made it worse.
This might be making people angry.
This is great. The theme song played over this whole part.
Oh, really? Oh, thanks for adding production to it. I don't know what episode number this is.
445.
Are you sure? I feel like we did 446. This is
446.
Yes.
Oh, you're right.
Kevin and I just came back from Comic-Con and are doing our first... ever mobile podcast. Mobile. Yes.
We are literally moving.
Coming to you live from the Toyota Corolla Studios. 05 edition sports series. It's got a spoiler.
Really? Is that? Oh, yeah. I like your dashboard. You should see. I should take a picture of it and post
and
it with
seats.
All our great
If you notice the seats, they hug your back.
Do my seats not do this? I also have a Corolla, but not... I have the LE. No,
well, according to the fantastic salesman at CarMax, he explained to me that the Toyota Corolla S-Series is going to be a little sportier and sportier. By sportier, they're going to throw a spoiler on there. They're going to put some little, like, it looks like a race car up front. And then the seat is going to hug you a little tighter. It's for high performance.
Best day ever.
Suburban management.
Well, so we're literally coming back from Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And that's why we sound like we're in a cave.
Well, two things I want to get out there. Yeah. I want to talk about Pablo Rocketbutt. And...
yeah, let's just bring that right up to the
All
table.
Right. So, Pablo Rocketface contacted us via Facebook and said that, hey, let's meet up at Comic-Con because I'm going to be there too. And I was nice enough to give him my number so that we could talk, and then... So we tried to make it happen, and then he's like, oh, I gotta go to a panel. I can't see you guys.
And what is a panel, anyway? Like, what does that even mean?
I don't know.
I also can't turn to you like this, I just realized.
Oh, look at me?
Because the sound is very different. Here.
This is a directional microphone. You can hold that closer if you don't want to...
Nah, just lean in like this.
Oh, that's going to be very loud.
What's going on?
Oh,
welcome to the second funniest podcast. Okay, I'll talk like this, and you talk from back there.
Then nobody's ever going to hear me.
Nah, that's normal.
No.
Don't worry, guys. It's just you and me. How's it going out there?
So, Kevin, this is your first Comic-Con.
Ah, it was so great. I wonder how many Pablo Rocketface Comic-Cons there have been.
How many he's been to?
Yeah, because how could he stand us up like that? What's up with that?
Yeah, for a stupid panel. Well, then as we're leaving, because we're high class, because we do a podcast, because we're in the industry.
Professionals.
Yes, we snuck in. I was a young man named Liam, who I think is nowhere near my age.
Yeah, it's like 14.
What role were you playing?
I was Dan Duncan.
And surprisingly, with us playing characters, nobody wanted to take our picture.
Yeah,
nobody is aware of who Dan Duncan and Liam Wamster. That's what probably his real name is pronounced Wamster, but I decided to pronounce it Wamster. That informed my character.
It was Duncan. You were way off. I could pull the reference out. So
that's funny.
I pulled a skip. This was my first Comic-Con. Yeah. And you know, I've been talking. Kat and I were talking about Comic-Con last year. About this, and I was describing, she's like, why didn't you want to go to Comic-Con? I think you'd be into it. And I was like, I don't know. It just seems like it's a lot of Iron Man and Batman and comic books. Wait, why don't I want to go? Like, that was literally the conversation that we had.
So the only reason we went is because it was your wife's idea?
No, it was that I realized that I would love it, that it would be a bunch of stuff that I would care about. But I think the reason why it always...
Turned
me off is because it was too much. Like, it was sensory overload. I'm a loyal geek fan, like, in terms of fandom. Like, when I was a kid, it was Disney. If it didn't have Disney on the label, I did not care about it.
Interesting.
When I got older, Mini Micro Machines were the thing, and I collected Mini Micro Machines. There were a bunch of knockoff Mini Micro Machines. If I bought something that said Mini Micro Machine on it, and like micro tiny machine or something, or little itty bitty car, I felt ripped off. Like, I didn't get what I should have gotten. And now, like, I don't like some things are out there I'll probably love. Like, you've been trying to get me to listen to the Nerdist podcast forever.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
Well, what is your, what do you listen to? Is it because you listen to Kevin and Bean and you don't want to be?
No, just because I don't listen to podcasts. I'm not a fan. Like, Homestar Runner. I didn't care about Strong Bad, heard about it, didn't care about it. Finally watched a couple of videos, fell in love, and watched them all in one night. Just every, hours and hours of content. And so, that's just how I roll. And so to have, like, a convention where everything is there, it was just too much. Like, I couldn't, my brain couldn't process it all. I like Star Trek conventions to have Star Trek. And I like my Babylon 5 conventions to have Babylon 5 in them. Are we recording?
Yeah, we're talking. Recording. We couldn't hear it. I just wanted to see, I'm going to tweak this level to see if they can hear less of the car noise and more of us. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is better.
Yeah,
it's a lot better.
Better for you if you talk right up into it.
This is the left one, and this is the right one.
Well,
I'm over here.
Put the podcast
out
in mono. Nobody.
Oh,
yeah, hit your head, broke my mirror. I like Comic-Con. Like, and I talked about it last time I went. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before last, but I worked it.
Are you sure
that it wasn't last year?
I'm pretty sure it was last year, because I remember talking about it in Jack's room. But go on.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so... And my impression of Comic-Con is that it is everybody that talks about it, it's like it's a bunch of nerds that get together and everybody's very polite. Nobody gets out of line. The closest thing to somebody being really rude or edgy are actually the homeless people that are native to downtown San Diego.
Right, and like the one, it's like the opposite of Thanksgiving. Today is not my day.
And even Comic-Con, I feel, helps those people, because what happens is these are crazy people that are dressed up, the homeless people are crazy people that are like running around screaming. And what happens is, I feel like you know how you always see somebody yelling and screaming when they're crazy and homeless? That I feel like what is in their brain has come to reality.
And there are people here.
Yeah, well, and there are people dressed up as like Avatar and weird anime characters they don't even understand. I just love to see a crazy homeless person try to figure out what steampunked is. Because sometimes I feel like if you get a large enough herd of steampunk fans walking by a homeless person, I really think that they're going to feel like they time travel. And that's what this just happened.
This is what I remember the past being like before the governments came around.
When technology was run by water. I also like it, or like there has to be some homeless person who sees a bunch of zombies. Now it's relevant. With the zombie apocalypse upon us due to the wonderful fad that is bath salts. That's right, Daddy said fad. There's no way a drug that makes you eat people is going to catch on. But the people are going to be like, it's real. The zombies are coming back to us, you know. They gotta freak out. That's what I like about it.
You know, there are people that love zombies so much that if there really was a drug that made you a zombie, I'll bet some people would take it because they'd be like, hell yeah, I want to be a zombie.
I don't think you take that drug.
I wouldn't. I don't take any drug.
Now, what do you think is negative about being a zombie?
The mindlessness.
Right?
Yeah, that's pretty... Also, like, there's just something demonic about zombies in general. Like, the need to eat human living flesh and the sloughing around of the dead. Like, we are so obsessed with empty, dead corpses in our culture, and it's a little unsettling. I don't know why. Why do we dig it?
Have you heard of the series Dylan Dog? I guess it's like a graphic novel. They made a movie about it. I think it's Brandon Routh, who played the new Superman Returns, or whatever. Superman. Although he only got one shot, which kind of sucks. I thought he did a great job. But anyway, in that series, it's kind of like a True Blood-esque type world where... it's kind of known, but not mainly known, that there are vampires and zombies and werewolves and all this stuff. And the zombies are kind of like the comedic relief of the monsters in that world, where they hang out, and what they do is they go to morgues to get replacement body parts, because they can just take a body part, and they're constantly in the state of decay and rotting and being miserable, and they don't want real food, so they're like zombie fast food restaurants that just look like places nobody would want to eat, because it's just they put like a little bit of maggots in the burgers and stuff like that. And so there's this character who's a new zombie, and the Brandon Routh, who plays Dylan Dog, who's like, there's also Dylan Dog is like the sheriff of the supernatural world, that the soups, I think they call them the soups, or maybe that's True Blood, but anyway, the supernatural people kind of unofficially elect a human who kind of mediates them and, in between the human world and them. Only he's the only one that knows that he's doing it.
Right.
So if you're wondering why it just got studio quality, it's because we hit traffic leaving
Comic-Con. I think this is an exit lane. You know what you're doing.
I know what I'm doing. I'm doing a podcast in a car. And what I like too about it's for just a...
This is literally in a pod.
Yeah.
We're literally
It would be better if this was a smart car. But what I like about people driving by us right now... That's our new intern, Nuvi. Say hi to Nuvi, everybody.
Hi, Nuvi! Yeah.
She talks in a robotic British accent. It's pretty hot.
Ooh, she's a Garmin. Garmin.
Yeah. So anyway, with people driving by us see us wearing studio headphones in the car together and talking.
I know, this guy's got his windows down. He's enjoying the San Diego sunshine. The ocean is immediately to our left right now. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. Justin and I want to move down here.
Yeah, San Diego's beautiful.
How many listeners did you say we needed before we could move down here?
I think, we could easily afford to make this our living if we had probably... 100,000 people.
100,000? That's it? I said a million. All right.
Yeah, no, you don't need a million. No, Adam Carolla has the number one podcast, and he only has 300,000 people.
Deal.
So, and he makes a ton of money off this. But anyway, so my point is, so this Dylan Dog character, he takes him to a restaurant, and he's like, he gives him like essentially a hamburger with maggots and trash in it, and he's like, that is disgusting. There's no way that I would eat it. He's like, trust me, you're going to love it as soon as you eat it. And he's like, no, I want a real, and he takes him to get a real hamburger, and he eats it, and he's like, oh my God. Like,
you can't eat it.
I love the smell of it, but when it hits my mouth, it makes me sick to my stomach. He's like, exactly. And then, so later on in the movie, he eats this trash, and he like, oh my God, it tastes, and when he tastes it, he's like, this is amazing. But anyway, I think, like, so what I would agree with the mindlessness is what the whole point of that story was, is that I don't think I would like it if a zombie wasn't mindless. Like, I don't want to be Walking Dead zombie. I would want to be, I think it would be kind of cool.
Like, undead zombie? Like, yeah, who wouldn't take a drug that makes you undead?
Right.
Even if you have to eat trash and maggots.
And I feel like...
recycling, renewal. Like, we'd never have to worry about trash again.
We would
just send the zombies out to the incinerators.
Exactly. We would be like the mushrooms and the flies of the world. We could actually save our ecosystem if you brought zombies out.
We need to hit stop so I can start working on this spec script. This is pretty sweet. I will see you next year at Comic-Con selling copies of this.
I think, though, the problem with being a zombie, the...
and that is the title of this episode.
is that the immortal aspect of life... Listen, Nuvi, you will have a chance to talk, and now is not that chance. All right, Tashika?
All right.
We got to turn her mic down. We're going to pot her down.
Okay.
So, anyway... it's another Corolla LE in front of us, maroon. I feel like that's stupid.
We almost hit her.
I wanted to give out their license plate, but that's dumb.
No, don't do that.
So anyway, my point is that part of the idea, the appeal of being immortal, I feel like, is that there's a certain sexiness to it, but there's nothing sexy about rotting.
See, that's the thing.
That's why I think I would go vampire.
The people, absolutely. Vampires are like the sophisticated Frenchmen of the monster world, but there's something about... zombies that we're just crazy for because it's like picking at a wound, like getting cut and then like slowly using your thumbnail to peel the skin back and see what else is underneath it.
Hold on.
That's what I think zombies is, and we're like fascinated with what else is under, what would happen if I just rip this skin off? That's what people are into when they're into zombies.
Really?
I don't understand.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I thought you were trying to say that there's a psychological thing in all of us that makes that feeling. I'm like, that does not sound, I am not into it. I get it. I've seen like the little, remember the guy that used to dress up in the tights that was the human body with organs on
the PBS
show or whatever? Like, I've seen that. I know what I'm
into. And then, like, the people that want to go to Body Works, which is the real life, cadavers stuck in.
I do kind of want to see that. I do kind of want to see the real deal homie feel.
It makes me want to vomit in the back of this guy's truck. Excuse me.
Nobody could see that truck.
Excuse me, truck. No, they know. I'm creating a theater of the mind.
I know.
Let's just pull over and get in this guy's RV.
Here's what I want to talk about, too, real quick. Can we share the story? Although, oh, crap, I already forgot that young man's name. I'm such a jerk.
Well, that's okay. I think he asked us not to tell anyone.
Oh, he did?
No.
Oh. You scare me, but I feel bad because this... So, one of the things... We decided we were going to work the convention hall from left to right. So, for those of you that have never been to Comic-Con...
hands up!
Yeah, what?
Hands up!
So the way it's laid out is on the far left-hand side is what I now learned this year is called Artist Alley, and that's where...
Had you never heard that term?
No.
Ah,
I just thought, because the first time the only time I got to walk the whole convention hall last year when I was working it was when it was empty. So I went in there and I just saw all these names and I go, this must be where you go to get autographs. And I was wrong. It's where you go to get art from these artists. So instead of buying...
Or both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, instead of paying big money to have a whole booth
they'll
set up to
They'll draw stuff
side,
for you too.
Yeah.
Like, while you're there, they'll be like...
Yeah, here you go.
Here's Mr. Toad on his wild ride.
Damn it. I wanted to get something for Jacob.
Turn around!
I can't.
Nah, you got him something.
Next year. Yeah, I did. I got him a bunch of t-shirts. But anyway... So you go Artist Alley, and then in the back left corner at the end of Artist Alley is the video game section.
Yeah.
It's, and then as you move towards the center, it became kind of like television, and then maybe movies, and then big booths. Like there was a Marvel booth, a DC Comics booth.
Did you say big boobs?
Yeah.
There were very
there was,
many
there's
big
a lot
boobs.
Of big boobs there.
A lot
there.
Of big boobs.
If you are a young man who is about to come of age of an adulthood nature... let me explain to you that if you are going to go on a senior trip with your buddies, you go to Comic-Con because...
Don't bring your girlfriend.
Well, if you, I'm saying this if you don't have a girlfriend.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
If you have a girlfriend and your parents are okay or you got the bread to drop a trip to San Diego...
Bread means money.
Yeah, book it in advance. I like the idea of that being the outdated reference. But you bring the money and get the hotel way in advance and come out and take a trip because there are nerdy ladies... Like we talked about last year, there are nerdy ladies galore and it... There's and here's what I'm not... Just like I said last year, I'm not as interested in the booth babes that aren't into the culture... But what I do really enjoy is I really do get the idea of getting a peek at a hot chick who also knows the major members of the
right,
Justice League.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm really really into. And this is a new thing that I've learned is that I would like them to be able to explain to me the story of how Mr. Marvel came to be, like or things of that nature. Or what is Austin Romero's best, you know, or whatever. What's it? Is that me thinking of this?
What are you talking about?
Austin Romero, isn't he the same?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's what I like about that culture. I like to just watch it. I like to watch the nerdy girls get out. And Kevin and I were talking about it a little bit. Because we were trying to... Kevin was like, well, I don't understand the desire to dress up. Like, I thought... That you dress up because everybody dresses up. And this might be a year. I felt like there weren't as many costumes as I remember.
Oh, it's also Friday. It's like the first full day.
Yeah. That there weren't as many costumes. Well, I was here the whole week last year, and there were more costumes. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like... Like, we saw two Princess Leias. One of them was a prince. And did not belong. He was dressed ironically,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And, last year there was like 30 walking by at once, and Adrian Curry was one of them.
Really?
I remember walking by her dressed as a slave Princess Leia going, wow, that's hilarious because I follow her on the Twitter. And because I like the idea that she's a hot chick that is into World of Warcraft and video games and things of that nature. Like I like the psychology of that. I don't know why, I couldn't explain it, but I do. So anyway, we go by, we were in the video game section. Then on the far right, it's like toys, there's some cosplay booths, and in the right towards the front entrance is where a lot of like the comic books are that you can go there if you're looking for, you know, X-Factor number 19 and you want to buy that, then you could be like, oh hey, and you could probably find it there. And then there are even there are other booths that are trading comics, which was, it's my understanding, the original concept of Comic-Con was that it was all about comic books.
Yeah.
And that it later on became more about pop culture and less about comic books. But anyway.
Well, I think because it became commercialized. Like, people realized that your audience is here coming to buy comic books. Well, there are comic book movies that are huge. So, naturally, you're going to send Superman or a Batman feature at there. And then that blows up and it gets a ton of attention. So, the following year, other people are showing up. Like, oh, we've got this Ninja Turtle movie. Or we've got this other property. And then video games start to show up. And eventually, it's like everything. I mean, it was, like I said, why I couldn't handle it. Everything is there. Everything. Indiana Jones, every Lego character ever created, all the Marvel stuff mixed in with all the Star Trek and Star Wars, and it hurts.
So we were at the Sony booth looking around at the games, and Kevin found playing Sly 4, which was really fun for me to watch as an outsider. is that there
because
is
you've never played the games.
No, I played the games. That was
never played the games.
That's hurtful when you said that in that booth. Like, so you're gonna play this one?
And I was trying. No one was listening. That's not fair. That was just you and I.
I know, which made it hurtful. It's funny if you do it in public or on the show, but when it's just you and me, that's all it is. It's nothing short of an attack.
I had forgotten that you'd borrowed my copy of the Collector's Edition
exactly.
And didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it.
So you didn't
I finished
play
the whole first game, and there was a game that came out that was pretty big that took over for it. Yeah. But I did. It was like, I felt like I was playing too much. See, you guys, everybody who's a Sly fan, you were sitting there, you play the first game, and you're like, you're salivating, waiting for that next one. And then there's a third one. You're like, oh, thank God it's here. And, you know what I mean? And for me, I was playing them all at once. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I get it. Which I've done on the collection. Played a little bit of one, go over to three, go back to two.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I want to see the story. I want to sit down
and
watch the Lord of the Rings, like, all in its, you know, entirety. Boom,
that
boom, boom.
Is hilarious, because I bet if it would take you more time to play Sly one, two, and three than it would to play all the Lord of the Rings extended collector's edition.
Thank you for understanding my analogy. And
that's why we're best friends. That's why we're
so that was the first attack. Then I played
the first attack. Okay.
And then we played.
We have had a lovely day today. We have just been the two most charming people at Comic-Con.
Yeah, we were very
lovely. More on that next episode. Yeah. And now we get in the car and we're, I don't know, 90 miles away from Comic-Con and suddenly it comes out I've been attacking you all day.
No. This is on the show. It's on the show, but you did attack me.
I did not attack you.
Hold on. I
asked a question.
Listen, Daddy's trying to host a show right now.
All right.
And drive a car.
Okay.
Newbie, zip it. Zip it, chick.
I've been doing this for... Her. I was like, I've been podcasting for as long as you.
So anyway, we were there. Then we tried the Little Big Planet karting, or what do they call it? Little Big Karting or something like that?
Yeah, Little Big Karting, which looks great.
It looks a lot of fun. I feel kind of bad for Mod Nation Racers because the Little Big Planet like brand... is so set up for more customization.
Oh, yeah.
And it's essentially
it's the same engine.
Yeah, it's the same
freaking engine.
Because I think Sony made Mod Nation Racers as well.
Well, it's a publisher, but I'm sure it's not the same developer.
But it's the same engine. Everything's the same, and it's almost even the same kind of environments. And Mod Nation Racers is a really cool game, and I felt like when everybody kept posting, when I asked that question of like, hey, what racing games do you guys play? And a couple of people kept mentioning, I'm like, man, I wish I wouldn't have gotten rid of that game. It was a fun little, just pick it up, play for a little bit, racing game. But anyway, so I played that, but we played it with the Move. And when did that guy say that peripheral comes out?
He said sometime.
Okay.
He said when the game comes out.
So they have a peripheral that's essentially like the Nintendo Wii has the wheel that the Wiimote locks into, the PlayStation Move. Only the bulb is what I'll call it of the PlayStation Move controller is at the 12 o'clock position on the steering wheel, and then it extends out in almost like it almost kind of felt like a Formula One or an open wheel steering wheel.
It looked like the Batarang.
Yeah, that's a good example for people who don't understand racing. So that was solid work there.
Thank you. And it
was a lot of fun. You could do some drifting just like you can in Mod Nation Racers, which I think was a lot of fun. Took a while to figure it out. So then we played, and then Kevin played it, and I was distracted talking to one of the higher-ups in marketing that was there, because then it came out. Oh, that's what started me, too. It was fun for me to sit back and watch people play the game and kind of talk about it and kind of geek out about it. There was one guy who didn't really play it.
Who didn't get it at all. I had to tell him, you need to jump and press the circle button.
Which was hilarious.
Yeah, sure did.
That was hilarious on so many levels. Is that this guy and it was even funnier because I thought he was playing as an ancestor, but he was actually playing as Sly.
Yeah, he was Sly, yeah.
And so he was playing as you, having you tell him how to play the game. and had he been this kid that we ran into not 15 minutes later, he would have prematurely entered manhood in that very moment. But anyway.
Yeah, he was kind of not impressed with the game, too. He was like, I kind of like it. It's like a Ratchet and Clank style.
Yeah, he's very obnoxious.
It's the next Thievius Raccoonus. I get it. I'm on it.
Yeah, I got him.
But he couldn't play the game.
He goes, it's like Jack and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank kind of, you know, thing. And he goes, I really like the Ratchet and Clank angle. That's a good angle.
Like, the game's been out for a decade.
Shut your face.
That's okay.
So anyway.
He was a nice guy. So just a sweetheart.
The lady, there's a lady that comes up because Kevin says
well, then
that.
I finally introduced myself to the Sony staff, not to just because that's kind of weird to just be like, yeah, I've done it before at E3 years ago. Like that's me. While a guy was playing the game and he could care less. He's like, that's nice. It's actually me. I'm controlling it. and so I'll talk to the staff about it because they care. They're like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So then word got around that the voice of
Sly he told his higher up. She came by and showed a picture of a chick that was dressed as Sly Cooper,
decked out with
a cane and everything. And then we go over.
I wonder if that's one of our fans.
And then Kevin, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
If it is you, send us a picture. Yeah. And because it looked really cool.
They showed us. Yeah, they were so proud to have people dressed up as Sony characters at E3 Comic-Con.
And so then Kevin was playing the little big Rick Carding game.
Rick Carding. You remember Rick Carding? He was so nice.
She was great on General Hospital.
Yeah.
And anyway, God rest his soul. And
never forget.
So so Kevin's playing the game, and then I was talking to the chick, and she was very nice, and then she was going to leave on her break, and I turned around, and Kevin was crashing into walls, so that's when I returned the attack, is the point of why I brought that up. And then he got angry and said, that's it, thank you, and gave the controller back. I was like, you were doing so good.
What you don't know is that you were the button to a bit I was doing with that guy, where I was like, he was trying to talk to me about the game, and I was sucking bad, and I go, I'm not as good as my buddy. He's like, yeah, no kidding. So when you came up, I was like, well, don't let him look. Don't let him turn over here. You know, he's like, oh, I won't tell him. I'm like, he knows I'm bad at games, but he doesn't need to see this.
That's funny.
And so then when you came up, I'm like, I'm done.
So we walk over to the Vitas, and Kevin goes up to one of the guys, and we start playing the Vitas. We waited our turn in line. And Kevin sees...
After being cut.
Yeah. What game did you walk up to?
I was just walking up to a Vita. I didn't know it was there. And the guy cut in front of me, so I went over to the Vita that had Little Big Planet on it.
That's
so
what
I won
it was.
Anyway.
So there's a booth guy that's working for Sony, comes up and he starts to try, he was going to give him the kind of pitch or whatever, and Kevin's like, well, I actually brought my Vita, and the guy's like, oh, okay, and you could tell that guy played games, like, he was kind of passionate about it, he knew he was working his love, if you will.
Yeah, oh, it's a good expression.
So
did you just come up with that?
Yeah.
That's good.
So he says to Kevin, so Kevin's like, can you put that game on here? Like, can I just get that into my Vita? I want to go to there now, like, kind of thing. And the guy was like, well, actually, it's coded. You can't do it or whatever. And so Kevin's like, all right. And it was just a bit that Kevin was doing. So
I would have taken it, though, had he had the game.
And so then he started talking about how they had, because then they had Sly Cooper for the Vita that was there, too. And somehow it came out where you told that guy, you're like, well, I'm the voice of Sly Cooper. He's like, oh. And just as Kevin had said those words and kind of had a few words with the guy, these two kids walk up, and I just played Retro City Rampage,
which was
a really fun, just blow 'em up game that I liked. And so then I go, here, go ahead, jump on it, kid, you know, and he gets on it. And there's this other kid who I didn't notice it, but he was playing the Thieves in Time, and he was just sitting there. And then the guy goes, so do you like this game? You know, and the kid's like, dude, this is my favorite game ever, is what he says to the guy. So the guy is just doing his sales pitch, but then he kind of realizes that he's a nerd too. So I see his eyes work. He looks over at Kevin, who's one kid away. So imagine in your head, on the far left is the kid who's playing Thieves in Time. Then there's his friend in the middle. And then Kevin Miller is to the immediate right of that kid playing Little Big Planet 2 on the Vita. So the kid goes, yeah, it's my favorite game ever. And then he goes, oh, you have the shirt. And he goes, I made the shirt. And we later saw that the kid had taken the logo, printed it out on his computer, and scotch taped it to his T-shirt. Now, I don't want that to come across like I'm mocking
it. No, not at all.
I'm saying that's devotion. Yeah. Like, that's the
and
level.
You know what? It looked good.
Yeah.
That was the thing. I'm like,
you couldn't really see the scotch tape at all. And the thing about it was that I really liked is that he's like, this is what I'm going to wear to Comic-Con. Like, even Kevin, when I went to pick him up at his house, was like, he goes, is this okay? Because I was going to wear something more Comic-Con-y, you know what I mean? So every nerd kind of has that thing of, like, it is kind of like a winter formal or prom for nerds. What am I going to wear?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there are people that, you know, they rent a tux in the form of a Princess Leia slave outfit or some Ugyo or whatever character. And yes, I did make that up.
No, Ugyo, that's a real thing.
It's a real thing?
Yeah, it's magic.
I thought Yu-Gi-Oh! Was the thing.
Oh, no, the Ugyo is the spinoff with the goblins.
Hilarious.
No, I made that up.
So anyway, so he goes, oh, you made the shirt. And he's like, yeah. He goes, well, you know. And I see his eyes dart. And he goes, the voice of Sly is right over there. And this kid froze and lifted his head and goes,
what did you just say? And the guy goes, and I laugh because I realize that this kid, I hadn't seen the kid's shirt, so I just thought that the kid happened to be a fan. But he had like a big reaction of like, are you kidding me?
Like,
right,
like crosshairs appeared on his forehead.
Yeah, like he was like,
about to be shot by a bullet.
Yeah, and he, so then the guy like looks over at Kevin, and then he looks at me and sees me laughing, and I guess my laugh or something gave the guy a vibe like he's like, oh, maybe he doesn't want everybody to know. He just, like, this is what I love about, because Kevin's my best friend, I've known him for 15 years, I just like the idea of having somebody look at me and go, oh, maybe he wants to be treated like one of the people today. Like, yeah. Like every voice, like, and it's funny.
Believe
because
me, I felt, this is the only moment where I didn't feel like one of the people.
Yeah.
The rest of the day is like, excuse me, pardon me, move out of the way. Yeah. You can't stand here.
Exactly.
You don't know who I am.
And what's great is that Comic-Con is
I'm
one of
Dan
the...
I'm Dan Duncan.
I am his protege, Liam Webster. So anyway, Kevin... So I just like the idea. Kevin's like one of the people or whatever there. He's trying to, and I think that Comic-Con is the few, one of the few places that a voice actor can actually be hounded by paparazzi-esque attention. But
well, because then there became a flurry among the Sony employees.
Yes.
They started to tell each other, and they all started to really care and come up and introduce themselves.
And we're about to go long, but that's okay. Yeah, we're already going on. But we'll finish the story, and then maybe we'll move on, or I don't know.
Yeah, no, we'll take a break, and we'll come back later this week and tell you about what comic books we saw at Comic-Con.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, so the guy goes, he sees me, and the guy goes, and he kind of starts to look back, and the kid goes, you mean Kevin Miller? Is what the kid said. So he knew Kevin's name just by saying the voice of Sly Cooper is here.
And that's when all I heard was my name from across the aisle there.
And so the guy felt bad, like he had ruined Kevin's day amongst the people to be just a regular guy.
Because here's the other thing is we're not wearing badges at this point because they've been taken away from us.
Because we snuck in. We pirated Comic-Con.
And we gave the badges back to the real Dan Duncan.
Yeah. And Liam Webster was taking a nap because he's
so,
a young guy.
So I think to the Sony people, it looked like we were hiding our identities so they wouldn't know that it was us.
So I said, the guy looks at the kid and goes, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. You know? And the kid goes, what? Wait, what? And he didn't get it. And I said, oh, no, he won't care. Like, Kevin was just playing Little Big Planet. And it all kind of overlapped a little bit. And Kevin's like, what? Did somebody say my name? And then he goes, the guy that's the voice of Sly Cooper, and he kind of points to Kevin. And this kid, it was like what you would imagine, I don't know, I guess you, the nerds that listen to the show haven't, but it's like, in the mainstream world, I will call it, it's like a kid from the 50s meeting Mickey Mantle, or, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
This kid just got this, like, his eyes almost, like, began to sparkle, like they were welling up. He was like, What? And then he goes, this guy right here is Kevin. He's Kevin Miller. And he looks at Kevin. And he goes, you're Kevin Miller. He goes, Kevin's like, yeah, I'm the voice of Sly. And he's like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me, man? So come on, man. Seriously, man. And the guy's like, yeah, no, it's me. And he's like, no,
oh, yeah, because the guy had to show him my business card. I had just given
him. Yeah, and he goes, no, I just gave him my business card. Here you go. And he's like, dude, I'm your biggest fan, man. I'm your biggest fan. And then he goes, so he's talking, and this is what I love. So then there's like another marketing person behind at the Sony booth, because this guy who's working the Vitas has said, we're about to have this cool little moment where this kid is meeting this like kind of guy that he, his own little celebrity, if you would. And so then it comes, the chick walks over to us or whatever, and then and Kevin says, well, have you heard our podcast? We do a podcast all the time or whatever. And he goes, he's like, seriously? He goes, no, I've seen the YouTube. This is what I love. I've seen the YouTube with the KFC guy. It made me laugh. Where it's like, he hasn't listened to the show where we have an episode full of Bentley and Murray.
Yeah.
And then we talk to Nate Fox. And we talk to Matt Kramer. Like, he hasn't heard any of that. Instead, he's heard our borderline racist improvised sketch on YouTube, you know? And so, and then Kevin goes, well, he's the KFC guy. And I go, yeah, I'm the KFC guy.
And then all the Sony people laughed.
So all the Sony people laugh, and this is what's great about marketing people, because we even talked about this last week, is that, so then the guy goes, hey, do you guys want some Team Sly, like, t-shirts? And Kevin's like, sure. And so then I go back with the chick. She's like, what size is you wearing? And Kevin's like, hang on 1 second. I go, no. Talk to your fan. I'll go get the shirts. So I walk back with the chick to get the shirts. She checks in with her supervisor. She's like, we got a couple of guys here with Sly the video game. Can I give them some shirts? He's like, yeah, go for it. Sure. So she's like, well, we only have larges. She's getting the sizes and everything like that. And I made a joke because they had pink shirts for girls. And she goes, I know you want a princess shirt. I go, if you got one of those in an XL, daddy will rock that pink shirt all day long. And then she laughs. She goes, it's so weird to hear your voice. And I had this moment of like, I wanted to say I'm not in the game, but I didn't want to make her feel weird. Yeah, like she was giving out shirts to the wrong guy, or then it would also expose her for being a fraud that she's probably never even heard the game other than
unless she heard the KFC thing.
That's also a very big
possibility. She laughed very hard at the KFC thing later or earlier. And she also came back around and shook my hand later and said it was an honor to meet you. After that moment.
I just think that it's funny that they were laughing at the idea of a KFC guy being in a video game.
Yeah,
I really don't think that they understood what was going
on
at all.
It was all so fast. Yeah. We've now spent twice as long discussing it as it actually happened in real
because
time.
Because it was really fun. This kid just kept... And then he's like... He was stammering because he goes, I can't believe... Like, seriously, this is my favorite game. I've been playing your game since 2002... I'm your biggest fan. Like, I've always wanted to meet you, and I just happened to bump into you at Comic-Con. Like, and it was funny because we told the story. Kevin ran into another friend of his, and we told the story, and the guy goes, well, I mean, Comic-Con is the place where you're going to happen to bump into a video game voice actor. Like, oh, this is a solid point. But it was kind of nice and serendipitous and a nice feel-good type of story. And then the kid kind of half-followed us around for a little bit because he just popped in and go, seriously, thank you, man. I'm sorry. I need to have another question about, well, how did you like Sly 2? You know, and that's the thing. It's like, I imagine that the people who, if you first found this podcast, you're listening to it and you're going, wow, I can't believe I'm listening to Sly and you have all these questions. But then you kind of realize that when you do get a chance to talk to somebody, that you kind of appreciate their work, that... What are you really going to ask them?
Yeah.
I know what the kid's point is, and I'm not bagging on it. I'm saying that we've all been there. You meet that person, you're like, hey, I really like what you do. And then beyond that, there's not a lot that you can do. And then also, but being watching you be on the other end of it, I know that you weren't annoyed at all.
No.
In fact, you were just trying to, like, you kept trying to remind the kid, hey, it's okay, man. Yeah, sure. Because he's like, can I just talk to you for, like, a minute or
yeah,
two?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm here. What? Let's, like,
and he's all
like,
right.
Let's
nice
do it.
Good.
Like, because if you're, I think most people, unless you really are a D-bag, like, if you have somebody who really appreciates what you've done in your work or
what you do
and... Like, who's sitting there going, no, I don't want to talk to you because you like me. I want
right.
to...
Who thinks that way?
I want to be away from you.
Your love is not enough.
Yeah.
I have the love of millions.
I think it's a natural human inclination to want to, like say, no, listen, it's okay. Yeah, I'll be here. I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like, to want to make them feel better because we all have some kind of... I don't know if hero is the right word, but you know what I mean? Like, a little bit of starstruckness.
Absolutely.
In us or whatever.
Yeah. And I wanted to go up and meet Mae Whitman and do the same thing to her. But then I remembered that I was the voice of Sly and I didn't need to stoop that low.
Yeah,
so
right?
I took her picture from 30 feet away. I'd be like, Anne, I love you, Independence Day.
It's a shame that the Sly 4 game is supposed to come out eventually. But my point is it'll probably be released, hopefully, before next Comic-Con. I don't really know. I'm speculating.
But that's, you know what, and this is the last thing we'll say before we move on, and I don't mean to... I love Sony, but I wanted to tell them, yeah, you should have clearly had me here, marketing team, because that's all the marketing team at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have any of the developers there. No one
was
there.
Well, you did have a great line. You're like, and I got to steal a badge to get in here.
Exactly. Later. That's what I told as we walked away from these fans and all the people knowing who I was. I told him, like, you should have had... Look what I could have brought to the table if you brought the voice of Sly to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
I'd have done it for free. Just
you would have stood there. You would have stood there next to all those and talked about the game.
And I could talk about the game forever.
Yeah.
About it.
Take pictures
with
fans.
Because they're there, like that girl yesterday. So when Sly 5 comes out, Sony marketing team, I am available for free passes to Comic-Con and maybe access to your craft services.
Yeah, throw a soft pretzel his way.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll hang
negotiate your rider. I got this.
Well, and the KFC guy gets in for free.
What's he from? Crazy Taxi 3? That's a Sega game. Why are you?
Great. Oh, and Jeff Grind Radio is going to be on the Vita. So.
I know. I wish I could have played. That's what started the whole thing. That I let a kid jump in. Jump in ahead of me on that game, because I was like, oh wait, am I supposed to get a paycheck on that?
No, you're not. No.
Oh, it's a buyout, huh?
Yeah, you're done.
Well done, Sega. Very smart business on your part.
Don't make a console, but you sure know how to take money out of your actors' pockets. Wait a minute, that was sort of two negatives. We gotta go. This is a long show.
I'm sorry.
I hope you've enjoyed the road show.
Yeah.
It's on the road.
So much traffic. We've been away from Comic-Con for what?
40 minutes.
Oh, you're right. Good point. Solid work. So give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniespodcast.com. Please, 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 please use the tell a friend links underneath the episode at secondfunniespodcast.com. You can share it on your Facebook wall. You can share it via email.
You can get a tattoo of it.
Don't forget to tell your friends and get them to like us on Facebook, because if we don't hit 1,000 likes, our business contract with Facebook is going to terminate. Facebook lady's going to shut us down at the end of this month, so you have exactly 17 days from the time this is recorded. I don't know when it's going to be released.
Wednesday.
So Wednesday is a long ways away.
12 days.
You have 12 days, jerks. Get on it. And by the way, we love you. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, who, by the way, is the voice of Sly Cooper. This is just the worship saying, okay, bye.
Name dropper.